I can't now. I'm on the phone. Good evening and welcome to Beauty Talk. I'm your host, Janice Pinnell. Tonight we have our quarterly MUA panel discussion, and Zinger, who's on the line right now, I just have to tell you, it's so funny to me. I can hear all of your yelling.
Did you? I'm so sorry.
And the funny thing, you got the music trying to start again, but the funny thing is... let me try to stop it. There we go. The funny thing about it was I didn't even put you on mute. I didn't even think to mute you.
Oh, my God. I hope nobody heard that.
So, I mean, if anybody heard it, they heard it through their computers because no one's on the phone line yet besides the two of us. And at the moment when that was happening, I didn't see anybody in the chat room yet. So you were safe.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Right.
Because the family's in here calling me back. Craziness.
So
and they know
is...
I'm in the middle of this interview, and then I'm watching my favorite show, the Food Network, Iron Chef, because you know that's who I think I am part-time.
Right, of course, of course. Anybody follows you on Facebook knows that you think you are the Iron Chef.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, I just want to let those people who are out there listening know that my sister will be posting all the beauty news that she has in the chat room. She's trying to get up on the phone lines now, so she'll be posting the beauty news in the chat room. And for those of you who want to call in and join the discussion, the number is 914-803-4399. 914-803-4399 is the number again. And before, let's see, I wanted to see if there was anything I needed to announce. Oh, just wanted to let you all know that tonight's show was supposed to be with celebrity manicurist Charlinda Rowe Parker and her twin sister Sabrina Rowe, but Sabrina had a last-minute change, a very late last-minute change in her schedule. So instead of her trying to rush, we decided to move their show to next Sunday, which is the 10th or the 11th? No, I'm sorry, it's the 11th, December 11th. Next Sunday, we'll have Charlinda and Sabrina on next Sunday, and we just decided to do next week's show this week. So we have a few people who will be calling in a few minutes, but in the meantime, we're going to start with Ms. Nzinga. And Nzinga, you told me earlier about the makeup...
the pop-up shop.
Maybe the pop-up shop.
Yeah, here in New York.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, the makeup pop-up shop was just kind of, I guess it's a Christmas holiday thing that they, the powder group decided to do. There were several cosmetic companies that were there. Makeup Forever, of course, was there. Temptu, Kevin Aquan, Crown Brushes, some other new people. What is their name? L.A. Splash Cosmetics. Just a couple people. It was really cute, and I got some really great things.
Like what? Yeah. Tell us all about that.
Oh, all the yummy goodies. Yes. Well, AJ Crimson was there as well. And mm-hmm. I got some lip glosses from AJ Crimson's Kissable Couture, which are really, mm-hmm. really beautiful. And what I like about those ones are they're very small, almost trial sizes. And, of course, they have the, you know, full several ounces. Maybe I want to say maybe like 2 ounce lip glosses. But these ones, they're like 1.5 maybe. So you can fit them in your purse. So it's really sweet. And they come in a package. I think there's 5 in a pack. And there's the dark set, and then there's a light set. The light set is semi-neutral, and they've got, like, these little glitteries in them. It's really pretty. So I got those as Christmas gifts. Makeup Forever, I got Rock Forever Aqua Eyes. And when I say these last, I've never seen anything like it before. I rubbed on it. You know, I tested them. I did a swatch on my hand, and didn't come off. I had to rub them off, really, really scrub it hard. So I got those, and that was a great price. And they come in a cute little tin. If you want to see it, it'll probably be on my Facebook page because, of course, I'll be taking pictures of everything.
Nice.
And then I got a gift set for my sweet little cousin, who is an artist as well, by Crown Brushes. And they're pink. This really beautiful set. It's, I want to say, 7 brushes. Metallic pink case. Then there's a company, seems like they're brand new, and it's called Amour. And their lip glosses and the colors are really, really beautiful. I got one called Barracuda, which is pure red. It's a blue red. And I have one on pre-order called Lucy, which is almost like a mango-y orange. Beautiful color. And I got my Temptu compressor. Yay! You know, I've been talking to you about this forever because, I had a Denair before, and some crazy person wound up stealing my compressor. And I haven't had a compressor for years, my airbrush machine. And that old airbrush machine, God bless it, was the one that I used when I did the cover of Interview Magazine with Lil' Kim with the Louis Vuitton. So they stole that. So I hadn't had one in several years. And this one is really, really special because you don't have to clean this one. They have little pods. And you just clip it in and spray. It sits on the table. It's maybe about, I want to say, 2 or 3 inches high. It's very small. It comes in a little zip bag. It's beautiful. It doesn't make any noise. And you have several different colors to choose from. And the pods are interchangeable, and you don't have to clean the compressor itself.
Right.
Genius.
Yes,
so that's my goodies.
You're going to have to definitely keep us posted on this this Temp 2 situation here. I need to know more about
it.
Once you use it.
I definitely will. It's fantastic, and I'm amazed at how small it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing.
I definitely want to hear about that.
So do we have anything else on the line? What's going on?
Is it portable?
It is portable. It is portable. It's, like I said, it's about 2 inches high, 2 or 3 inches high. And literally you can put it in a tote bag. You know, like if you're carrying a tote bag, it's very small, very lightweight. The compressor itself is lightweight. The brush itself is lightweight, and it's a black gunmetal color. And you just plug it up like you normally would. There's a funnel, and you have different volumes in spray.
Okay.
and the pods lock into the airbrush itself. And the colors that I got, I just kind of wanted to play with them, so I got my own color, my own skin color, which is espresso.
Okay.
And then I got a blush. The blush color is sheer berry, which looks good on Caucasian skin as well as women of color. And then there's a gold highlighter, which is really beautiful. Very nice.
Right.
Very nice, very nice. I love the presentation. You know I'm all about presentation.
Yes, I do know. I remember.
Well, you know, the last time you saw my case, it was lavender. Everything was pretty much lavender.
You had everything. I mean, we would go to the little stores and buy little stuff, and you would always get the lavender or purple, and I would get pink.
Yes, I remember that. But now it's all chic black, New York black,
okay.
Because I'm back in New York. I'm really excited. So, you know, I like to change things up all the time. So I think
right.
I was really, really overdue for a personal overhaul as well as a kit overhaul. And I think everybody
yeah.
should do that at some point.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
This is great. I'm loving it.
Well, it was about maybe a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking, and you were sharing an experience.
Mm. Oh. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's all right because I've moved on .com and I have forgiven.
Are we talking about the same experience? We probably are talking about the same experience.
I think so, yes.
And remember I said, well, we need to talk about this.
Yes. Well, it was about product, yes?
Yes.
Okay.
Tell your story.
Tell my story. Actually, I had two instances, but I went online to a very well-known company, and I felt like, you know, I wanted to do this whole, you know, I'm revamping my kit and everything, and there's some new things that I wanted to put in my kit, and I went
mm-hmm.
to the site, and they made me do all of this ID stuff, like I had to put my photo ID and my union card ID, and you know, it was like they were asking me for my passport. You know, it was like
mm-hmm.
crazy. And I'm like, wait a minute, this is just makeup. We're not, what is this? Are we performing terrorist acts with lipstick
right.
now? What are we doing? So
right.
I just kind of felt like it was an invasion of privacy and almost like a discourteousness to professional makeup artists. And then I had to sit back for a moment and think, you know, like I really can't be offended by this because there are several people out there who are passing themselves as makeup artists, working makeup artists. And these
mm-hmm.
people haven't gotten any checks at all. And so now
mm-hmm.
the companies are becoming hip to these people. But unfortunately, in the interim, really professional people are hurting because of that. Because we become, you know, in question.
Mm-hmm.
And I really had to take issue with that, but I realized that a lot of companies are doing that now.
Well, I mean, but where do you think that came from? I know you're saying that you think there are a lot of people out there who are calling themselves makeup artists, but haven't really done. What people are they?
You well, you know, I mean, it's like there are people who come to the makeup shows. They're not
mm-hmm.
really makeup artists, but they're makeup enthusiasts.
Right.
They love makeup. They love the whole idea of applying makeup. You know, there was a
right.
point in time where being a makeup artist is an exclusive thing. was an exclusive thing. Nobody was doing that. Only people in Hollywood doing pictures were these celebrities, but they were unknown celebrities to the common people. But now, you know, the game has changed, and so now there are several people who are out now by the mediums that we have now, the internet and the Twitters and the YouTubes and all of those things. There are a lot of people who are passing themselves off as makeup artists because they can go and they can do their makeup, and they may do their makeup very well on themselves, but they're not getting paid for that on a set. You know?
Right.
And there's a certain set etiquette that you have, that a lot of these people who are in home doing their faces, and maybe they can do their best friend's face, and maybe they've done somebody's wedding, or maybe they go door-to-door and they sell cosmetics, but that does not mean that you're a makeup artist.
Right.
You know, this is a real art form and a profession, and I think so many of us have suffered in various ways.
Right.
Because we've got things like that happening. I mean, there was a time where I never had to have my passport photo and show my union card,
right,
you know, and fill out this form and have a pay stub, and, you know, it's like crazy.
Well, let me ask you, because I'm thinking about some different situations, you know, and no disrespect to beauty bloggers, but, you know, there have been times when there have been a lot of beauty bloggers who, you know, hit up the different PR reps for different product lines to get products so that they can sample and speak about on their blog, and that has kind of put a damper on, like you said, working artists
mm-hmm.
who actually reach out to the companies for product to use on real jobs.
Yeah. You know, and we're the ones who are working with celebrities.
We're
the ones who put it on the faces that are seen on TV and magazines. We're the ones who are really selling the product, not only to the general public, but to celebrities and other makeup artists, you know,
and so now,
well.
And so now when we go to reach out to these companies, they're asking us for all kinds of information to prove who we are and that we actually do what we do.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, a couple times in the very recent past, you know, went to a product line that I really absolutely loved, and I wanted to try it on one of my clients, you know, and the payoff is great on this particular product. And I usually do purchase items because obviously I was at the show, so I purchase items as well. But I was completely and totally brushed off, and I was like, what? If anything, you guys should be makeup artist friendly.
Right.
You know, because we're the real sellers. We sell to so many people, including our inner circles of makeup artists. So, you know, I was a bit perturbed by that. It didn't disturb how I felt about the product line, but it just turned me off to that particular PR person.
Right. Right. Yeah, I mean, it's crazy, and we, you know, we just have so many different issues in regards to that. I just think it's ridiculous, and I also think what's ridiculous now, kind of similar, I just saw where Bobby Brown now has a 40% discount for makeup artists, and I'm seeing that I think her discount program now is, you know, you have to get the products online, and it's 40%, you know, and then you go through those same requirements, like show your union card or whatever it is that you show. And I remember when she first did her discount program years ago, I believe it was like 30% off,
mm-hmm.
and you had to actually physically come to New York or already in New York, and I think she was at, I'm trying to remember what, I think it was Barney's. You have to actually go to the Bobby Brown counter at Barney's and show your book for your union card or whatever it was, whatever the requirements were. You had to actually go to the actual counter to show, to get a discount. And I'm assuming, I guess I can say that the discount now is a little bit better, but the only issue I have now with it is that, you know, of course you can just do it all through the mail or online, but now the problem that I have with it is that for the first 2 years, the discount is free.
Okay.
And then the third year going forward, you have to pay an annual fee of, I don't know, I don't remember what it was, $30 or whatever it is. And so I've always had a, I've always personally had a problem with paying for a discount when if I sign up for your, you know, if I sign up for your discount, then that means I'm going to be buying product all the time.
Right.
And I've had, you know, and that's honestly, I don't have to honestly say, I stopped having a Mac discount card when they started charging.
Mm.
I thought it was ridiculous.
Mm. Like I said, you know, I believe that it's just a good business practice to be artist friendly.
Right.
You know, and it's the PR people's job to know who's out there. You know, because who are you selling this to? You're not just selling it to magazines. You're not just, you know, it's not just beauty bloggers. It's not just those people. You have to actually apply makeup to see if it works.
Right.
And the people who can tell you that it works or it doesn't work are usually people who are doing the application. So I think that there needs to be a certain level of respect for our craft because, you know, like I said, what would the makeup be? It would just be something in a tube.
Right.
You know, so it's special people that make it look extra special. It's the people who do the photo shoot that, you know, show how to display this particular type of makeup or this particular style who bring it into fashion. You know, sometimes we're the ones who take it to the beauty editors and directors at magazines. If it wasn't for us, you wouldn't know about it.
Absolutely. Well, I have someone on the line, so I want to get their thoughts.
Great.
Let's see here. Hello?
Hi, this is Taylor Michael from New Orleans. How are you?
I'm good. Say your name again.
Taylor Michael.
Taylor Michael. Hi, Taylor Michael.
My first name is Taylor. My last name is Michael. People tend to say it all at once, so
I
kind of call
it. You heard me just say it. How are you, Taylor?
Outstanding.
Good.
I saw that it was called, the show was called Beauty and Illusion Cosmetics, and I, since the topic and the title kind of fit what I come to say, I had a poem that I had written that if interested, I would be glad to share with you about beauty, of course.
Sure, go right ahead.
Okay, it's pretty prevalent, as you'll see, so I'll just jump right into it.
Okay.
Red, the color of the lipstick sliding across the lips of a young girl, too young to put it on perfectly, but not too young to see the world. She sees her mother wear it, she sees her father smile, and so she thinks that's what it takes, and so begins her take on style. Red, the color of the blood flowing and fleeing her from childhood and bondaging her to her peers. As her thoughts and hers become one, she enters her teen years, where the other girls tell her what she's doing wrong, and the boys tell her what she's not doing right. And all she can do is rely on her sight. The television, the billboards, the magazines, the ads, the girls, the boys, the laughs and the fads. So she becomes smaller, thinner, softer, tighter, younger, fuller, tanner, brighter. Transforming into perfection by the use of self-abuse in hopes of avoiding rejection. Losing it all, weight of body and mind. Giving herself to conformity while leaving who she is behind. Paying 50% off of clothes so she can cover 20% of her body. And slicing everything else away until the shallow men call her a hottie. Making her face up to cover who she really is. Trying to impress boys who shouldn't need to be because she's blinded by the weight of the shadow on her eyelids. Brought up by a media that says natural is disaster. And as we tear down the trees of our forest, they tear down their self-esteem even faster. Because perfect isn't perfect enough. So they digitally retouch. and women pay their soul, not understanding that health is wealth, and paying a penny of your life is still too much. And the scars in their mind can't be covered or concealed, because even when we say you don't need all that, they still feel that looking like a picture is better than being them, being real. And all we can do is watch her fade into the faces of all those others who want to be in the same places as those actresses, singers, or simply posters on the wall. Watch them wipe the tears so we'll win their mascara as they watch themselves fall. Falling into fantasy, falling into arms that will only be around as long as her lipstick or another girl more youthful, more beautiful comes along. Red, the color of a rose standing tall and proud, basking in the sun and reaching for the clouds, spreading its leaves out to take in the world, while maintaining both the beauty of a woman and the innocence of a girl. But where does it end? And where did it begin? And where did that young girl hide away? Her mind or her skin?
Wow.
Wow is all I can say. Oh, my goodness. Wow.
Now, you know that speaks to the activist in Nzinga.
Exactly, I know.
That's
thank you,
awesome.
Pam, so much. That is
no
awesome.
Problem. Thank
that's
you for allowing me to share that.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
I would love a copy of that. Is that?
I was going to ask you, could you post that on our
that is awesome.
But that was a lot to say.
That's awesome. That
yeah, sure.
So
I'll copy and I'll copy and paste it and message it to you somehow on Blog Talk, I guess.
Okay, I'll type the information in the chat room.
Okay.
Where you can send it. That's awesome, though.
Wow.
Yeah, email it to me, and I will. I'll email it to you and Zynga.
Awesome. Are you published?
No, I refuse to be, actually.
Look at you, anarchist. I love it.
Anarchist. I just don't believe that someone should have to pay to hear what I have to say. That's all.
Awesome. That's art in its purest form. Thank you for sharing that.
Awesome.
Again, thank you.
Now, how did you hear about the show?
I didn't. It's a long story. I'm in the Navy, and I've overexerted my body, and so I've been told by the doctor to lay off. So this weekend I have nothing else to do, and I'm actually a spoken word poet, and most of my poetry, as you can see, is to invoke a change in people. So since I can't work out, I figured that I would dip into that a little bit more while I had the time. So
nice.
Wow.
Nice.
Well, God bless you, and thank you.
Thank you.
Thought-provoking.
It really is.
Mm.
It really is. We'd definitely like to, if you don't mind, have a copy of that. And I took the email.
Yeah, no problem. I've always told, you know, women, I guess would say, and girls, I'm only 20, so, I mean, most of them, they act like girls, not women, that any man who would rather, you know, because a lot of them say, you know, well, this is what my boyfriend likes, or this is what, you know, these guys like, whatever. Any person attracted to something like that, attracted to someone who wants to cover themselves up, is not someone worth attracting. So.
Mm. Wow. Well, you know, that really touches a lot on self-esteem.
Yes, it does.
And self-esteem, you know, I think is what separates it's real true beauty. It's what true beauty is to be self-confident, whether you're wearing, you know, a face full of makeup or you're not wearing a face full of makeup. You know, it's really who you are, self-esteem, having that. And I think that, you know, as artists, part of our job is to help to facilitate that. Part of it is.
You're right.
You know, the good part and the true part, because I believe that, you know, instead of making people look just like the next girl, to me, you know, I believe in looking into that particular person, that particular face that I'm doing, because each face is different. Each person is different. Each personality is different. And that should be reflected in their personal style. you know, and our job is to be able to see that and not cover it up but enhance it.
Right.
You know, and help them to elevate it in themselves. That's just my opinion.
Absolutely. So you write poetry all the time?
Not anymore. I wrote one last poem before I left for boot camp, and that was the last poem that I've written in, I'd say, 9 months. So.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So just don't have the time, I guess. Go ahead.
Okay. Gotcha. Where are you from?
New Orleans.
New Orleans, okay. And you said you left for boot camp. Where is boot camp?
Chicago, Great Lakes.
Gotcha.
I'm not there anymore. just so we
okay,
that's clear.
Where are you now?
Pensacola. Mm-hmm. I've been stationed in Pensacola.
Okay, stationed in Pensacola. Okay. Gotcha. Okay. Ooh, well, thank you so much for sharing and joining in on the conversation. We appreciate it.
Again, thank you for allowing me to share. Appreciate it.
No problem. You feel free to stay on the line, though. You don't have to hang up. Okay, I see you hung up. But you can stay in the chat room. I see you're in the chat room as well. Let's see here. Yolanda, is that you?
Yes, hello.
How are you?
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Yolanda.
Hi.
Yolanda, that's Nzinga.
Hi, Nzinga.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm so great. It's great to hear your voice.
Nice to hear your voice, too. Oh, wow, Nzinga. I'm bowing right now.
Oh,
do you know
that.
Who's on the phone?
Stop that.
Do you guys know who you guys have on the line right now?
Oh, I know.
Bless your heart.
Oh, Nzinga, beautiful, beautiful work all these years. Beautiful.
Thank you so much.
And you
do beautiful, great work as well. You know, I am awed by the talent that I see, you know, in this just coming up. And I'm so proud of my sisters. It's just a beautiful thing. You know, I feel honored to be amongst that. I do.
It's so nice to hear your voice.
I know. And after this, we should keep in touch, yes?
Yes, please, let's do.
Yes.
Well, Yolanda, just to catch you up on what we were talking about, and then also I wanted to kind of share some of the comments from the chat room. We were speaking about an experience that Nzinga had when she was reaching out to a PR rep for products. And we're just basically talking about all that you have to go through now to get products, you know. And we talk about, you know, we're the working artists who are working on celebrity talent, you know, and the talent also get in magazines, but and they're using these products, you know. But because of so-called artists and beauty enthusiasts who, you know, who may do, you know, reach out for product and try them out on YouTube or even beauty bloggers, because of some of that, it's hard for working makeup artists to, you know, get product. And when you do go to get product, you know, they take you through a lot. Have you had any bad experiences yourself with trying to get product from companies?
As far as product placement, yeah, I have. If I do receive products, they're going to give me maybe 5 to 15 things, you
mm-hmm.
know, and it's usually out of the 30 that I've requested, you know, and then it's the 15 that were at the bottom of the list. So,
right.
Yeah, they just, I don't know, I've always wondered about that, you know, why is it so hard for us to get product placement?
Well, you know, some of the people in the chat room made comments a few minutes ago before we had the poem read about that situation. And a lot of them are saying pretty much, you know, the bloggers are the ones driving the dollars, which is true. And, you know, and one person responded that the artists seem to come in second, you know, when it comes to products. They come in second to beauty bloggers.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's all about the dollar.
Yeah. Well, you know, those bloggers I see, you know, they have time to blog every day and, you know, sit behind the computer. Unlike all of us, we're working makeup artists, so we don't have time to sit behind a computer all day and blog about, you know, what looks good. We have to go out there and create what looks good. So
that's it.
Yeah, so I think that's messed up for us, I feel, you know.
Yeah.
And it's like we have to work extra hard.
Mm-hmm. You do. You know,
yeah.
like I was saying, basically the way Zinger was explaining her experience, it's almost like you have to prove who you are and what
you
do.
Yeah, you have to come up with a long resume and, or, you know, it needs to be, especially if it's an editorial, sometimes you really don't even get products for editorials if you're shooting things for magazines and stuff like that. You really don't get products for that, you know, unless you're doing a film or maybe a commercial or a music video or something like that.
Right.
Well, you know, and most of, you know, the product, like I said, I don't know if you heard what I said, Yolande, but we, you know, with this particular incident, you know, I had to have my passport, my union card, a pay stub, or, you know, they asked for several different things, 3 references.
Wow.
You know, and I feel like, wait a minute, I've been in this business close to 30 years. How long has your product been out?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Wow.
You might want to be more artist friendly, because we're the ones, even if there are beauty bloggers, and they are, and they're, I think that what they do is an important thing, but at the same time, we're the ones who actually use the product continuously day after day after day, so we know what wear and tear actually is on the set, when there's lights, you know. But some of us use the product on ourselves on a daily basis, so we know what that is.
Yeah, transporting all these products.
Yeah, and transporting them, taking them through the airport, the sizing and the packaging of different things.
Uh-huh.
So to be artist-friendly is really business smart for companies, and especially what I was saying to Denise, is that the PR people, who are a very integral part of, you know, product sales and marketing for these companies, they need to be a little bit more savvy and start doing their homework, too, on who. You know, because it's the artists that really bring the product to life.
Mm-hmm. It is. They do bring the product to life. I agree with you with that. A sad thing also is that unless, you know, we have all these products out now that, you know, they have artists themselves that are in-house, so they're trying to market their products with their artists. So, you know, they choose not to give it to us because we don't particularly work for that cosmetic line.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
I think that's kind of sad, too.
Yeah. Well, I found it interesting yesterday at the show. You know, and I love to get painted every now and again. I know, and I never used to do this before. I've never had another makeup artist do my face.
Mm-hmm.
And yesterday, I actually sat down and I got airbrushed. And the young lady who was doing my face, I saw that she was going to put a color on me that I know. I know. It would be too incorrect for my complexion. And I said to her, why don't you use a drop of this along, just to mix it with this, just to give it some more depth. And she looked at me like, well, are you serious?
Oh,
and then
no.
She added the drop, you know, just to shut me up. And then when she pushed it through the compressor and put it on her hand, she was like, oh. And then she put it on my face and was like, oh.
Yeah,
wow.
She didn't know who was sitting in her chair.
It didn't even matter if she knew who was in her chair. She should have known her craft.
Yeah.
And if she knew her craft, she would know just by looking
known.
At me, let's do this.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes the difference between someone who is practiced and well-versed and well-knowledged in the art. Because this is
mm-hmm.
an art. We're not just doing this just to hang out on somebody's set. Are you
wow.
serious? Who wants to be standing there for 16 hours? Are you
wow.
serious? You know?
I just had this conversation, I think it was a Thursday.
Yeah.
You know, I work for me is 16 hours.
Yeah.
A day.
Yeah. I mean, bless the ones who go through, and I've gone through 8 hours, some even 1 hour. You know,
yeah.
I've gone into a project and done 1 hour, and then I'm out. I'm blessed with those situations. However, then there are other circumstances where you're there for 12 hours, 16 hours, 18
yeah.
hours. So those, we're working people.
Right.
You know, and to disrespect us like this is not cool. It's just, you know,
no, it's not.
Sit well with me.
And then, you know, also, too, these days, they're looking for the artists that, quote-unquote, are celebrities, if you will, if I'm using the right term, themselves, to decide whether they're going to give you something or if the artist that you're working on is worth, you know, them even giving us the products. You know,
mm-hmm.
we run into
and
those
And who determines that?
Too.
Who determines that, though?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? What
mm-hmm.
determines that? Just because your name is out there doesn't necessarily mean that you're a great artist.
Exactly.
Or a great business person.
Yeah.
Or you know, it's like, I think we had this discussion before, Janice, about, you know, being key makeup artists and assisting makeup artists and department heads. You know,
mm-hmm.
everyone needs to be great in their position. You can be a department head and not be a great department head.
Yeah.
You can be an assistant makeup artist and not be a good assistant, but you may be a great assistant. So it depends on where you are. You know, and it's about being excellent, I think. And
right.
a lot of these people are not doing their homework on what excellence really is. And there's a track record for excellence.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
that's
true. Oh, true. Well, I have James Vincent on the line.
Mm.
Hi, James.
Hey, honey, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm well. I just got in from work, and you know when you tell me to call, I do what you tell me, so.
Well, I'm not going to hold you long since you just got in from work, but I thought maybe you could shed some light on this topic. We're talking about when working makeup artists as yourself,
mm-hmm.
reach out.
Did you say
to...
overworked makeup artist?
Yeah, those two.
Okay.
When overworked makeup artists as yourself, reach out to product lines for products
mm-hmm.
To use on your celebrity clients and to use on other jobs. When you reach out to companies, and they take you through hell pretty much just to get product. And sometimes you don't even get half of what
right.
you're asked for. You know, we're just trying to figure out where does all of that come from? You know, why is it happening like that now, today, when before it wasn't so hard?
I think that there are so many more makeup artists now than there ever were. You know, you're looking at an industry that is producing more makeup artists. More makeup artists are graduating from schools. There are more makeup artists at counters than we've ever seen before. And I think cosmetic lines can sometimes struggle to keep up with the demand. The internet shares information so quickly that products become, you know, collectible. Everybody wants what everybody else has. And it's the media has changed. It's not simply 25 top magazines anymore. You're now also dealing with 250 bloggers that are requesting product. So I think that they've had to redo all of their budgets and their advertising budgets and their professional development budgets, and sometimes they have to make tough decisions on where their product is allotted and I can't imagine having to make some of those decisions. I know I go through it with the makeup show. I've gone from having 12 bloggers that I comp every year to more than 400 bloggers requesting to come to the show for free. So it's a very different way of doing business in the last few years. So I understand it, and I just urge people to keep working and getting onto the projects where you can get those compensations when they're there, and work to get all of the discounts that you can from the brands that offer the professional discounts.
I agree with that. This is Nzinga, by the way, James.
Hey, honey, how are you?
I'm great. How are you, dear? It was good to meet
you
yesterday.
Thank you.
I agree with a lot of that, and at the same time, as a working artist, you know, like I said, I don't know if you heard what I said, but, you know, being in this industry for however many years, when did we start asking for photo ID? When was my passport relevant? When was my union card and a pay stub so important? You know why?
I think when more
because
people
the medium did
to
change.
It.
You're right.
Yeah.
It did change. However, it's up to these people who are making these decisions, and as savvy as they are and as much information is out here, they need to do their homework.
Yeah, I definitely
because I
think
have to
that.
Do my homework to have my profession, to be excellent at my profession, to be skilled. I have to do mm-hmm. homework. So do they.
I mean, I agree, and I definitely see your point. I think mm-hmm. that, you know, we're looking at situations also where the people that are maybe overseeing the social media, maybe the people that are overseeing the pro program, are not people that understand the entire industry or know the entire industry. And,
there's the answer.
You know, it's the same, I think, when you're dealing with beauty editors now. You're
mm-hmm.
dealing with people who are coming out of school, who maybe had an internship somewhere,
mm-hmm.
and don't really recognize a lot of the names that they're coming across. So I agree with you. But
mm-hmm.
I think for me, I don't mind having to show certain identifications. I think that strengthens things as well. I know that if I can show a tear sheet or credit a
mm-hmm.
Cosmetic line or company, then I want to do that. I think that I want their pro programs to be even stronger, and
mm-hmm.
I hopefully what they're doing is raising the bar for what is considered professional makeup and for
absolutely.
Who is really doing that. I think educators like yourself have been working very hard to make sure there's integrity in every area of our industry.
Mm-hmm.
And if someone can simply say, I'm a makeup artist and have the same discounts that you do, and they're not practicing, they're not putting the money and the time into their craft or their career, maybe they shouldn't have the same benefits, you know? Maybe they should have to prove that they've paid their union dues or, you know, been testing or been working on their portfolio or shooting with a photographer instead of just walking up and saying, I deserve the same discount. I don't know. I go back and forth on that, you know?
Yeah, and I agree with you because I do go back and forth with that as well. But someone who is testing in opposition to someone who's on a set, a working set,
mm-hmm.
is very, very different. You know,
yeah.
we're signing off on time cards. We're not practicing. This is real. We're
right.
the ones who are, you know, it's a smart business move. Like I said, and I'm going to say it again, it's a smart business move to be artist friendly for the companies because we're the ones who take it to celebrities who are
right.
seen on TV and in pictures, on films and things like that. We're the ones who bring the product to life.
Yeah, and I think Mac really spearheaded that program, you know.
I'm sorry?
I think Mac really spearheaded that program 15, 17 years ago, and now every brand is expected to follow suit. And not everybody brings the same discounts, unfortunately. I think
right.
that I've gotten spoiled where I'm not even used to paying for makeup. And
right.
I do get kind of upset when I can't get what I need.
Right.
Or, you know, I show up, you know, to play the devil's advocate, when I'm showing up for to get something that I need at a boutique or a store, and I'm waiting in line behind people who are not there for the professional, you know, stuff. I have to really check my patience sometimes, mm-hmm. and realize that everybody's learning and kind of growing and doing that kind of thing, and maybe their programs need to reflect that at a certain level you get a certain discount, and I don't know. I don't know. I think it's a touchy program. I can imagine that it's very expensive for these brands to offer their full mm-hmm. discount programs to so many artists mm-hmm. constantly, but I also, as an artist, appreciate that I should have discounts of that nature. And at the same time, I see why bloggers are so important. You know, I said controversially today, I'm sure, that I do find it frustrating that I've been working for 17 years and now there are bloggers that are getting huge contracts with companies and, getting signed with agencies. And I have to kind of push my ego out of the way and just accept that the industry has changed. And maybe it's the same mm-hmm. with these professional discount programs, you know.
I agree. That I would agree with.
Well, I appreciate the conversation. I didn't know what I was walking into. I'm actually have been teaching for a brand today and doing a shoot, and now I'm wrapping up the next issue of On Makeup Magazine, which goes to print tomorrow. So I'm going to say it was lovely speaking to you ladies, as usual. And
I appreciate
being asked my input, because, you know, there's nothing I like better than connecting with my sisters and seeing what's going on in their life and talking to other artists. So thank you for including me.
Well,
thank
a bond
you for
to do to you too, dear heart.
You guys have a great night.
Thank you, James, and we'll talk
thank
to you,
you
next year, Michelle.
All right. Thank you, Anita.
Okay. Bye-bye. So as we were all talking, I noticed that James was online, and I was like, you know what? That's perfect. Bring James in and shed some light on the conversation so we can hear, you know, from a different perspective. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I can agree with a lot that he said, and I'm totally behind everything you're saying, Nzinga.
And
you know,
there's always two sides to a story.
Absolutely. And unfortunately, you know, we just have to accept that the industry has changed, whether it's good or bad, you know, whether it's to our liking or not. It has changed. And I was hoping Marietta would have had a chance to join us. She was getting ready to go to lunch. She's working, but she's getting ready to go to lunch. But I wanted her to join for this next thing that I was going to bring up. And it's about agencies. And was having a conversation with the makeup artist who's been doing makeup, I'm not really sure how long, but it's been at least 4 years, at least, if not longer. I'm not going to say her name, but, you know, she works as a personal for a well-known singer or what have you. And she also does film and television, photo shoots, and all of that. I just got distracted for a second. But, she was telling me today about someone who started an agency, and that person is well-known, started an agency and wanted her to be, like, the first client. And pretty much things aren't going well. I guess the person who started the agency is kind of not living up to their word or what have you. But what I wanted to say was, you know, there are a lot of people who have agencies now, who are starting agencies, rather, and they want to use the artist because the artist has all these clients, the artist's very good, and they want to bring these artists in to help get their agency running, but yet they have no track record of being agencies. And Zing, I know you've used the assistance of an agent, you know, in the past. I just wanted to know
you know, what are some of the things that people should know about agencies and looking for an agent? Because this particular young lady, the agent said that they would help her get into the union. And one of the things that we made very clear in our class for the class that we've been doing, you know, for makeup artists for film and television, is making it clear that the union is not an agent. And so now you have this agent wanting to bring people in and promising them that they will get them into the union. What do you guys think, you know, we need to be looking out for when it comes to trying to find an agent?
This is Yolande speaking. It's like kind of a catch-22, you know, when you're dealing with situations like that. It oftentimes what happens when you find people promising things like they can get an artist into the union, you know, unless they have that connection with, you know, the studios where a film is going to turn union while you're working on the project, or whether, you know, you're promising the artist that they are guaranteed to, you know, get the days that you need. Because we all know, you know, here in California, you know, you need 60 days, and 60 days of non-union work is hard to come by. You know, if you have a family and paying bills and all those kinds of things like that, too, because you want to be compensated for working those long hours that we speak of, 8, 12, 14, 16, you know, and 60 days are hard to come by. My advice to up-and-coming artists would be to, you know, make sure that they also keep in touch with their own contacts, because I've been in situations, you know, where I've given all my contacts to an agent and then my phone stopped ringing from that particular contact because that agent has now taken over that contact and they're contracting another artist out cheaper than what my rate was just so that they can keep the contact. You know, you have to look out for things like that. You know, you basically have to look out for yourself, you know, like within any profession, not just makeup artists, you know. Owning a store, you have to look out for your profit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know, it's catchy, you know.
Because the thing is that I'm not saying that agencies are bad.
No, they're not.
Yeah, but I'm just saying there is oftentimes a lot of that type of shadiness that you have to look out for, and that's the reason why I mentioned that this is pretty much a startup agency. So my thing is, like, you know how agents have this thing where they're looking for this type of artist, and you have to have this, and you have to have that to be on their roster. So my thing is, why can't we have some prerequisites and say, okay, for you to be my agent, you need to have this, that, or the other, or you need to have been, you know, an established business for X amount of years. You know, how come we don't look, I guess we don't look into all of that. We're just excited that some agent wants to put us on their roster and start looking for work. But this mm-hmm. particular agent hasn't even tried to find this particular artist any jobs at all. And also this agent wants a percentage of this artist's money on some jobs that this artist found on her own.
Ooh, I'm getting chills. It is so, it's frightening. It's like, oh, who wants to revisit that? Oh, Lord. In Zynga, the floor is yours, because wow. It just baffles me that it's even still going on now. It's 2012.
No,
and there's
actually,
so
I don't
upset.
Plead the fifth. I don't plead the fifth, because I believe that every artist, once again, you know, the art comes through us. We're the painters. We're the ones who are standing on our feet. And at the same time, yes, you are responsible for yourself. You're responsible for yourself in so many different ways. So I think the question should be to the artist, what is it that you want?
Mm-hmm.
who do you want to be? What do you want out of this? What are you coming into this for? Are you coming into it because you love this industry, because you love to paint, because you want to be a star? What is your reason for being here? That criteria mm-hmm. needs to be answered before you bring anybody else into the framework of where you're trying to go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know that when I first started, I didn't have a portfolio to spit on.
Mm-hmm.
I did a lot of talking. And I told everyone that I was great. I did my own pitching. That was just me. I didn't know I was great. I didn't know whether I would ever be great.
Mm-hmm.
But I, you know, I felt confident about who I was as a person and what I feel that I could bring to the plate. Now, when I started looking for, and I never really went looking for an agent, never looked for that, because I always thought God was my agent, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He was my rep. Jesus is the one who's the mouthpiece, and I'm just the conduit. That was my psychology, and it still is. But I think that everyone is different. You know, if you're looking for someone to manage your career, then you should have someone to assist you to manage your career. I think that is very important, because some people are very right brain and some people are left brain, and some people are in between, can juggle mm-hmm. just a little bit of each. So if you know that you are not that savvy in terms of business, then you should have someone who can define what that looks like. If you know that you're purely artistic and you want nothing to do with paperwork, you know, then you should go with someone who is interested in doing that, but make sure that they're well adapted at doing those things, and they do have contact, and they do have some interest in who you are and in going in the same direction, because they're representing you. They're your mouthpiece. They're your voice when you're not present. They're your face when you're not present. So if the two of you are not agreed, then you can't really go anywhere. So I think it's really up to the artist to make up their mind what they want to do. Figure it out. Quit the desperation. Stop, breathe for a minute, and think. Where do I want to go with this?
Right.
And never compare yourself to what someone else is doing, because there's, you know, we live in a pie factory. We live in a bakery. This is the way I see it. They make cookies, cakes, pies, all kinds of things in this bakery. In other words, there are different avenues for everyone to go down. Not everybody is going to be the fashion makeup artist. Not everybody is going to be the film makeup artist. Not everybody is going to master bridal. Not everybody is going to do, I don't know, whatever. Find out where your strong point is. These are the questions that you need to ask yourself. We can't continue to pinpoint other people, because it goes back to what we talk about in life. People only are allowed to do what you allow them to do to you.
That's right.
That's really the bottom
line. That's right. And I have one more call.
So if this person is allowing that, then this is what the outcome is.
Well, you know, I believe that she went into the situation thinking, okay, you know, you've been nice to me. As a client, you've been nice to me. You've helped me. And now that you're starting your agency, sure, I'll go along with you. You're a very nice person. You're a sweet person.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe she also is someone who just really don't know how the agency-artist relationship is supposed to work. So now when some of these issues are popping up...
Has it really been defined?
I'm trying to remember from the conversation, just from what she told me, no, I don't believe it's been defined.
Well, then.
But a lot of the things that were promised and that were said, you know, haven't been done. It's, you know, now she sees that, you know, it's not a good situation. Mm. So she's, you know, handling that and going to take care, you know, take care of that. But it just made me think about, you know, this agency situation and, you know, the problems that a lot of people are having, you know, with agents. And we have one last caller on the line that I'm going to bring in. Hello?
Hi, it's Brandilyn.
Hey, Brandilyn, I thought that was you. How are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you guys doing?
Hello, Brandilyn.
I'm a big fan of yours, and I really appreciate all the information that you are giving to us on the phone. And I actually wanted to comment about the previous topic that you guys were speaking on with James, but just to comment about the current topic, any agency that's, like, giving out promises, it just literally sounds like one of those scholarship programs that say that you got to pay to get scholarships. Like, when you were speaking of it, I mean, my, like, red flags were just going off all over the place because from my experience, that's not necessarily what an agency is supposed to do. I've never heard of an agency saying they will get you into the union. I mean, just from my own experience being in New York for the past 2 years and kind of going between theater, fashion, and beauty, not that they're completely unrelated, but it's just two different types of battles, and that's what I said in the chat room. I mean, I just don't see a lot of correlation between editorial, advertising, commercial work, and then being on set for film and television. I mean, I just think that I'm just meeting a lot of different artists, and they're just, not saying that they're not the same, but I just don't, and I don't know, I just feel anyone saying that they're starting an agency, saying they're going to help someone get into the union, that just, it just is a red flag to me. And I feel bad for whoever the artist is, and I just think that, I mean, I would just hope that, you know, when you really look at where you're trying to go in life, you would align yourself with people who are doing great things and are doing the things that you would like to do. But I just get very, very weary about anyone promising me anything. That's just mm-hmm. in life. So I really will put, you know, her in prayer because it is a struggle, and, you know, and there's different experiences that we all go through to learn, but that's just one. It just reminds me of, like, hey, pay for this program and we'll get you scholarships to college. I mean, that just doesn't sound good to me at all. And so, and then also just to comment about the issues with makeup artists, you know, receiving products and things of that nature. I think that, you know, the conversation, it was really nice to hear James and Izzy to kind of talk back and forth with two, you know, artists who've been in the industry for a number of years. And it's good to have these conversations. And I, like I said in the chat room, and I know Denise and Janice, you guys said that there will be a round table, but I would love for there to be more discussion, maybe even at the makeup show. I'm not really sure where this particular forum can happen, but having, you know, beauty lines or people who are in the position to make the decisions about pro artist programs, having that conversation with them involved, I think might help, you know, that our industry is changing, but it will also help with the progress of our industry changing. So I would love to see that in the near future.
We'll see what we can do to bring that to life for sure.
I think it's a great suggestion. And I think, you know, I agree a lot with what James said with regard to bringing up the standard for our industry. You know, I always have to go back to the word excellent. And excellence does not just reflect in your art, the performance of it, how you conduct yourself on a set, whether you will return on a set or not, is based on your character.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, there's a lot of makeup artists out here who lack character, but they're great makeup artists. And just because you're a great makeup artist in the terms of the technical aspect of things, you know, like he can make an amazing cat eye, or, you know, she can make the skin look like whatever. That's the art itself, but there's more to the industry than those things. So when I speak about excellence as an artist, that's all around. It's all encompassing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's inclusive of the way you paint.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we need to strive for excellence. And I think, you know, that with, again, in terms of dealing with agencies, yes, I've had my share of agencies. Yes, there have been discrepancies. And yes, there have been great times, too. You know, there are some people who have been with agents for years. And I think those relationships are a beautiful thing when you can find it. Not everybody has that.
Right.
But you still are responsible for yourself.
Yeah.
At the end of the day.
Yeah, I just, you know, I when I heard the conversation and you're saying you're responsible for yourself, I mean, you can't depend on anyone to take you anywhere on their coattail with their career. I mean, it definitely requires the work and, you know, pounding the pavement, and it's just too easy if everything's like an all, you know, one inclusive deal. So I completely agree, and I'm, you know, I'm all for excellence, and I try to exude that in my own behavior as well as, you know, when I'm encouraging other people to do the same. And I think that that's the best thing that we can do with artists is just continue to communicate what the standard should be. And, you know, like, these conversations are good too because it also lets people know what's not acceptable. Because unfortunately, everyone may not necessarily have a good example of what is acceptable. So these types of conversations are amazing for people up and coming, even for myself. There's some avenues of the field or of the industry that I haven't tapped myself. So just knowing, you know, from one area to the other, things that are expected is still very great. So it's good to have these conversations.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, ladies. We have come now to the end of our show.
Oh.
It's been great. It seems like we could just talk forever.
Mm-hmm. I know.
It's a lot. But we really appreciate you guys joining us, especially at the last minute. We had to change the show from this week and move it to next week because of a scheduling issue. So we switched next week's show to this week. So I appreciate you ladies, you know, calling in. I appreciate it. I know who I can depend on all the time. So thank you guys for calling in. Thank you, Brandilyn, for calling and sharing that. And a big thank you to James Vincent. I saw him online and I was like, hey, James would be perfect to kind of shed some light on the discussion. You know, I know he
was at one of James' classes earlier, so I know he's been really busy.
yeah. I just saw him here in Atlanta.
Was that Brandilyn?
Yes.
Were you at the makeup shop yesterday?
I went Friday evening. I got there Friday about 8:30.
Okay.
So I wasn't there yesterday. I was working yesterday.
Okay. Yeah, I went yesterday.
Okay. Well, hopefully we'll get to cross paths in New York. I'm right in Harlem, so hopefully
okay,
we'll
good go. Okay.
All right. Good night. But thank you, ladies. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. And Yolanda, thank you. I know you're excited. Your son is coming home, and you're getting ready.
Yes, he is. Wow.
Yeah, he comes home tomorrow.
Blessings.
Good.
Blessings. That's wonderful.
I know you're excited.
I know. So. First semester of college, out of the way.
Yes.
Right. Where is he in at school?
He's in South Carolina.
Oh, wow. He's on the East Coast. Okay.
Yeah, he's all the way, on the East Coast.
Wow.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. So I'm real excited.
Cool. He's coming in the morning.
So nice to hear your voice.
Oh, it's nice to hear yours, too. We're going to keep in touch.
Yes, we have to.
And I'll get your information. Can we?
I can give it to you.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. vice versa.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. I'll pass it on.
Thank
no
you so much. Thank you for calling me. I appreciate you thinking about me.
All the time. Not a problem. Not a problem. And we have to chat it up real soon.
Okay.
I just want to say to all of the, this is Nzinga speaking. I just want to say to all of the visionaries, God bless you. Keep on your path. Stay strong in all of this. There are going to be bumps. There are going to be, you know, there's going to be shade that's thrown. It's going to be all of those things. But if you really love this and you have a passion for it, keep forward. Keep doing it. Keep being excellent. Strive for the best in yourself first, and then it will come through in your work.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And with that, I will just say good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night. Thank you, ladies.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.